Blog Talk Radio.
Reality.
And, you know, I don't know if you've, anybody out there has heard Alan Russo's work in his final statements. Before he died, and his revelations regarding the Illuminati. Well, you know, they exist. Those people exist. They've existed for thousands of years. Until now that they are in a position where they can, they know that we are at a point in time when the world is changing, when we are changing, when we are becoming enlightened. Even Zbigniew Brzezinski said it's easier to kill a million people today than it is to try to control them. And, you know, that's what's happening. You're seeing mass genocide everywhere. And you know, in our food, in our skies, in our on wars, and, you know, polluting the waters, polluting the fluoride and chlorine and genetically modified foods and, you know, traditional medicines and pharmaceuticals. I mean, we're killing off millions and millions and millions of people every day and every month and every year, you know. And they're trying to do this simply for, because they can't control us. And they're saying, oh, you can't afford, we can't afford to have this many people. Well, who can't afford? That 1% own 70% of the world's wealth. Yeah, 1%. Oh, they can't afford to give up any more than that. Well, you know, my feeling, folks, is that, you know, if we could identify these bastards, like Bill Gates, you know, Oprah Winfrey, all right, all these other momos from hell, okay, that own so much of the world's wealth. And I mean, the Rothschilds and the, you know, the Goldman Sachs CEOs and all of these people that are disguised by these CEO fronts and all these wealthy barons and bastards. If he could just knock these guys off, you know, the world would be wealthy again. Everybody would be wealthy. Everybody in the world would be, would have enough money. There'd be enough money for everybody. You know, to live wonderful lives, everybody. 7 billion people and more. But, you know, by just getting rid of 700 people, you know, and grabbing their fortunes, right? You could feed 7 billion people and they'd all be rich and they'd all be wealthy and they'd all have, you know, everybody would have over $1 million and, you know, live wonderful lives. But no, no, no. These guys all have to have trillions of dollars, you know, and control you and enslave you because they think they're God. They think they're little demigods, you know, like they're like they control the world, but they don't, folks. They don't. They're just a-holes. They own the monetary system. But if you destroy that monetary system, they own nothing. They're worse than nothing. You know? And they're all of their control and their tyranny and their governments and their everything destroy, just gone. And the people take over, and the people rebuild, as they always have, over the millennium. So, you know, it's time, folks, to wake up. And the warriors of light must unite. Something interesting that came up recently, I really thought this was fascinating. But recently, the husband... my husband directed the fake moon landing, says Stanley Kubrick's widow. And she's going public and stating that, you know, the moon landing was a fraud. Now, there's been rumors about this for many, many, many years. And why has there, since 1969 or 71 or whatever, all right, why has there never been another moon landing? Because man had never gotten there. He never went there. You know? He never got there. Why did they disable the NASA space program? possible for man to reach the moon or Mars or whatever. And all these space things that you're seeing, they're all fraud. It's all a fraud. And I want to play this short video. Yeah, I'll read this article by Stanley Kubrick's A Widow. Okay? And here we go. Hope you enjoy it.
Decided to do that, and I need you to do this job. We're going to do it. It's just amazing. So we were trying to figure out who would do what when. He simply has got to have the person he wants in that job. And it has to be someone who's capable of doing it. And it has to be somebody he knows well. I said, I'd like to talk to one person. And he said, who?
Donald Rumsfeld was the first to propose Stanley Kubrick. The film would have to be perfect, but the set could never be built in time. The filming of 2001, A Space Odyssey, was drawing to a close in a suburb of London. Why not use the sets there? Rumsfeld was sure that Kubrick would not refuse. During the Kennedy administration, the White House had granted him special authorization to access strategic areas of the Pentagon during the preparations for the film Dr. Strangelove. Kubrick owed them. I told Mr. Nixon, it's very dangerous to lie in the United States. You can't pull a con like that in a democracy. Too many people would talk. It would be absurd. But he said, almost sadly, go ahead anyway. Rumsfeld offered to go and negotiate personally with Stanley Kubrick. He and Henry Kissinger flew to England that same evening. Kubrick was surprised and amused by the idea, but began by refusing. Rumsfeld wouldn't give up. We're only asking you to do one thing. Just leave us the keys to the studio for one weekend, just so we can shoot a bit of film and take a few shots. Everything will be tidied up again by Monday morning. Kissinger flattered him, telling him that Dr. Strangelove was one of Nixon's favorite films. In the end, Kubrick agreed. The fake footage would be shot in England in the MGM studios near Boreham Wood with a skeleton crew. The two technicians and two actors would be CIA agents. To guarantee their trustworthiness, all had to be single men without family ties. They would sign a contract committing themselves to perpetual silence about the whole affair. Once the filming was over, they would have to disappear. But Stanley Kubrick was a perfectionist. Faced with the CIA crew's lack of professionalism, he ended up, against his better judgment, supervising the shooting of the fake moonwalk. But, he told them, from Monday morning, you're out of my life for good.
My goodness, that is somebody. He is impressive. And he is a balanced, rational man. And he also has some courage to say that, what he said. And from there on, it played out exactly as he suggested.
He had very great common sense. He was a very dedicated personality. And my relations with him were wonderful.
Kissinger was the key person. Yeah, that's right.
And he was very much challenged by this project.
That did take a long time. But everybody was very interested that it could be done at all.
I mean, they have never done this like this.
True.
Yes, we haven't. So that's one reason to try.
They tried and tried, and it didn't look right. I remember the thing with the stars. They had huge sheets of paper, and there were little pinholes.
Everybody should realize what an achievement it was to do that.
Kissinger was so nervous that he packed his passport, you know, in a big suitcase and things like that. He was very unlike himself.
It finally worked, and Kissinger was very, very, very pleased with the result. It looked fantastic.
Studio light. playing.
Donald Rumsfeld, the White House, and the CIA had promised Stanley Kubrick he would never hear from them again. They kept their word. But 5 years after the fake footage had been shot, Kubrick was imprudent enough to contact the White House and then NASA to ask to borrow a special lens for the filming of Barry Lyndon. NASA agreed in exchange for services rendered, or perhaps it capitulated to the barely veiled threat of revelations about Armstrong and Aldrin's first steps on the moon. Nixon had resigned following Watergate, but his successor, urged on by the CIA's new director, got the machine up and running again. After all, Stanley Kubrick was the last direct witness of the hoax still living. His telephone was bugged and his mail was intercepted. Kubrick decided to disappear. He made all his films on or near his property, whether the setting was Vietnam or New York. He locked himself away with his wife and children and never went out again until his death.
He was accusing Nixon of colluding with the CIA to have him assassinated.
He would try to think what they would do and how the troops would go in and at what point and how long it would take. He was very accurate.
This is his wife.
And at the same time, he also was horrified.
I don't know what you're talking about.
The guy who ran CIA was Dick Walters. General Dick Walter, one of my best friends, and I know what was going on.
Only General Walters could reveal the whole truth about this. The whole truth about what? Listen to me now and believe me, because I'm going to tell you the truth. I'm positive that Mr. Nixon knew nothing in advance. Helms' deputy said to him, "I don't know what's going to happen. But whatever goes down, we'll be with you till the end." That was 6 months before. When the people who did it were trapped, they hurried to Nixon to say, "Protect us." Instead, and I said this to Mr. Nixon, and he agreed with me when I told him it, General Walters was willing to go on talking, but in private, without being filmed. The elimination of all those who'd taken part in the filming, and he insisted on the word "all," was still too sensitive a subject. Before tackling the subject of Stanley Kubrick's sudden demise, he asked us to switch off our camera, which we half did. Are you still filming?
Okay, but you do.
Because this could mean people's lives. General Walters, visibly disturbed, suggested carrying on our conversation the following day, but he died suddenly during the night of a stroke. He had agreed to break one of the CIA's explicit rules, that of silence and anonymity. Vernon Walters' death only warranted a few lines in Liberation, but the New York Herald Tribune devoted a long article to him. Part of it read, "General Walters' last known public appearance was on a French television documentary in which he talked about the White House's involvement with the Apollo program in the late 1960s. Both the producer and the director noted that Walters was in perfect shape.
Grossly impudent lie.
always leaves traces behind, even after it has been nailed down. A fact which is known to all expert liars in this world, and to all who conspire together in the art of lying. These people know only too well how to use falsehood for the basest purposes. That was a quote by Adolf Hitler in 1925. Even a scum of the earth dirtbag like Adolf Hitler knew how to manipulate the masses, by the author of this article. So you think America actually landed men on the moon? Well, think again. We have proof that the moon landing in the late 60s and early 70s were all a big lie. To start with, keep in mind that there are only about 100 people involved in the moon landing hoax. Mission Control in Houston, as well as most of the men and women who worked on this project nearly 40 years ago, had no idea it was a fake. But also, is this possible? We simple, very simple. Power elite who put on the fiasco never let anyone see too big of a picture. Thousands of people involved only had their small part to worry about. Mission Control was in Houston. The launch site was in Florida. The engineers, mechanics, and computer programmers, etc., did their jobs that mixed with each other. So most people couldn't figure out the whole thing amounted to a Hollywood production. In 1962, then-President Kennedy said he had a vision of America putting a man on the moon and returning him safely before the decade was out. Now, we don't know if at the time Kennedy knew this was impossible or not, but shortly after his murder in 1963, the best rocket scientists in the world involved with the project informed Lyndon Johnson that science is at least 30 years away from being able to accomplish such a task. The fact is, they were a little optimistic. Here we are 40 years later and we still don't have the technology to send a man to the moon and return him safely to Earth. The powers that decided on this fraud concluded that if they couldn't send a man to the moon and get him back safely, then what would they do? What would they do is to have NASA fake the project and keep the billions of taxpayers' money used to fund this operation for themselves. And they then decided they actually could fake the whole thing for a fraction of the money they were being supplied. And here's a site in Iceland where we found a lot of NASA fakes were made. And there's a picture here that looks like a lunar surface. Here are some facts to keep in mind about the impossibility of actually sending a human being to the moon. The moon is constantly being bombarded with micrometers that travel at speeds of 20,000 miles per hour. To keep that in perspective, a rifle bullet travels at 800 miles an hour. Remember, the moon has no atmosphere to slow it down. If any astronaut or the lunar landing module got hit with just one of these, then if it were the size of a grain of rice, that would be the end. Strange, NASA wasn't too concerned about this at the time, don't you think? And this one is incredibly funny. This is supposed to be the frogman to rescue the Apollo men. Now, there's a picture here of a frogman rescuing the Apollo astronauts in the ocean. Look at the fake kite string that is on the top of the module. I'm kind of looking at this thing, trying to see it, but I can't see it. Oh, I see. Oh, it's tied up with all kinds of strange rope. Kite string. It's like strings. And this is an actual picture taken from the rescue of the astronauts back in 69. Was the place is the same. Look at the fake kite strings that is on top of the module. This is supposed to be the string that held the parachutes that brought the module to Earth. I would think it would require heavy ropes for such a task. By the way, if this is the same space module that brought the astronauts home, then where was the area that they docked and climbed into the lunar module? Was it the same place? It had to be. But they also had to have parachutes in the same place. So where are the parachutes in this photo? There are none. Okay. And how was there room to get through the opening into the lunar module with the parachutes stored there? Also, look at the fake breathing respirators on their mouths. So they listening than they were might be if they were breathed out. Maybe since NASA can't tell us how the Apollo men went to the bathroom for 2 weeks, we are thinking the frogmen should have the gas masks on and any nasty stuff the Apollo men might have brought back. By the way, the frogmen should have the gas masks on for any nasty stuff the Apollo men might have brought back. By the way, the Apollo men are on the rafts and have been for the last 10 minutes. What is the frogman still doing swimming in the ocean? Looking for the great white shark? Or is he looking for a carp to eat tonight? Come on, America. Think about the BS these pictures are telling you. Now, I'm going to refer you to this website. Okay, and it's called, what is it called? OneVibration.com. Okay? Go and check this out. And it's really an interesting thing to say. They show you pictures of all the fraud, how fraud the whole thing is. Blueprint on the moon. It looks nothing like the photo. Here's a photo of the blueprint on the moon, NASA says. The first blueprint on the moon. And NASA eventually backtracked for this slip-up and now claims the boot Armstrong wore in the moon were jettisoned before the LEM took off from the lunar surface and weren't returned to Earth. Sure they were. Now, let's take that even further. And here is Neil Armstrong on the moon. There's a picture of him. If he is wearing either of the suits NASA claimed he was earlier. If not, why was NASA having people pay to see the suit he actually wore on the moon in the earlier photo? The suit is now on display at the Neil Armstrong Museum in Ohio. Oh, here are the Apollo boys again. Another picture. This time, they are entering the Saturn V rocket to head to the moon. What? New shoes again. And guys, these new yellow ones go with the green cheese and the moon. And a different spacesuit. New headgear. How much room was there in that cramped space? Oh, by the way, you guys were in space or on the moon or for nearly 2 weeks. How did you go to the bathroom? NASA really never told us that. Come on, those spacesuits must have really smelled good on the moon with no air to dissipate. And this thing is kind of funny, guys. I mean, it really goes on, and it really debunks the whole theory of this moon landing. And a number of years ago, a friend of mine gave me the video that debunked this whole thing. And it they could go to the extent of making this a fraud, you know, of doing this, that they can do anything, you know, they can make you believe anything. 9/11, you know. Sandy Hook, the Boston Marathon bombing, right? You know, oh, this was all terrorism. Oh, and then all of a sudden, a few months after all of these episodes happened, then we suddenly see Obama still pushing for gun control and taking away guns from American people. And let's get total. And 100% surveillance on everybody's phone calls, and everybody's email, everybody's internet searches. We will be the most amazing dictator, one world order in the world. I mean, we'll have information on everybody. We'll be able to stop everybody and take everybody's guns away and do everything. We can do it all, folks. Christ, we went to the moon, right? Yeah, right. I'm trying to see when this article was actually written, because Neil Armstrong just passed away. June 26, 2011, right? That's when this article was actually posted. And let's read a little bit about what he says. I really recommend you go to this one. He really, really destroys this whole landed on the moon. Next, surrounding the Apollo mission from apollofake.briefhost.com. Every other question you might have about the Apollo fraud should be answered here or above. Fact. Neil Armstrong is now suffering with mentalism. Remember, this is June 26, 2011. That's 2 years ago. He's now suffering with mental illness, a direct result of him putting his name forward as the foundation stone for the biggest lie in history. Or it could be that he has become paranoid by the overwhelming number of websites exposing him as a liar. Fact. Rumor has it that Apollo 12 astronaut Pete Conrad was going public about the fake moon landings on the 30th anniversary back in July 1999. He was killed in a motorcycle accident 1 week before the 30th anniversary. Fact. It takes the space shuttle 66 hours to reach the International Space Station, which is a mere 185 miles above Earth. NASA claims Apollo 13 was 55 hours into its duration from liftoff when it encountered a problem at a distance of 200,000 miles from Earth. Fact. On his website, world celebrity Uri Geller states that NASA's Apollo moon pictures had been cruelly faked and asked why. Uri, however, is friendly with Apollo 14 astronaut Edgar Mitchell. So we may ask, why does he not ask Mitchell himself why the photos were faked? Fact. President Lyndon Johnson made certain Apollo files classified. The declassification date of 2026. This is so those involved in the Apollo scam would be long dead and gone, and no one alive to blame. And one need not wait 18 years for the truth behind Apollo, as it is already well known. Fact. In the early 1960s, NASA officials, realizing that a manned moon landing was totally impossible before 1970, met in secret behind closed doors. It was at this meeting they agreed upon a decision to fake Apollo 11 and the hope they would get to the moon later on and then shroud the earlier fake pictures by genuine moon pictures. The reality is they never succeeded with any mission. Fact. Arthur C. Clarke referred to Apollo 11 as a hole in history. Historian A.J. P. Taylor referred to it as the biggest non-event of his lifetime. Fact. Arthur C. Clarke referred to Apollo as the whole... Fact. NASA had not perfected the lunar landing craft in time for Apollo 11. In 2008, they are still trying to get a rocket to land and take off again, 40 years after Apollo was supposed to have done just that. In fact, film footage taken inside the capsule of all Apollo missions shows a light blue haze in curvature of the Earth in capsule windows. When they were supposedly halfway to the moon and the blackness of space, that proves that capsule was only in Earth's orbit. Pictures on NASA's websites are fake, with backdrop scenes pasted. The pictures reveal a black line penciled in where background meets daylight sky, which was blacked out completely. In fact, the lunar module used in latter missions was the same spec as the first mission, no modifications. It would have therefore been impossible to carry the rover vehicle to the moon in the same confined lunar module, even if it collapsed into a more compact form. Fact. The lunar rover had inflatable tires, which would have exploded if pre-inflated, and there was no air on the moon to inflate them. Pro-Apollo nutters claim the rover had solid wire mesh tires. Yes, the rover in the museum had these fitted in the mid-70s when they realized pneumatic tires would not have functioned on the moon. And NASA have had 40 years in which to clear up the plainly obvious mistakes within the Apollo program. Each time someone brings up a query, NASA correct it and say nothing, i.e. they cannot say why the anomaly was there in the first place. Anyway, I have pictures of the rover suppressed on the moon, supposedly on the moon, and it has the same tires and tire valves as the ones they used at KSC. In other words, it is the same one. Really close-up pictures of the rover on internet have changed since the blunder was exposed on this website. This guy exposed it. There's so many things here, guys. It looks like I'm going to take up the whole time, but it's probably important that you know. Trainee astronauts were also suspended from this huge traverse crane in a horizontal position to simulate reduced gravity. Check picture on Reality 7 NASA website, picture of Harry Sim. The unusual high backward leg swing is identical in both pictures. Film footage allegedly taken by Apollo 8 as it supposedly circled the moon is the same film footage for the Apollo 11 mission, except the film is reversed and run backwards. Look for tadpole-like mountain range. What NASA did was to film the moon lunar surface at LRC, traveling in one direction, then reverse the camera and film surface traveling in opposite direction, as shown in videos. And film footage showing Apollo's mission allegedly circling the moon was taken by a rail-mounted camera that slowly moved toward a rotating plaster Paris model of the moon. James Lovell was reading from a pre-written script in the simulator when he did the voiceover for the above film and referred to the moon as being essentially gray, no color, looks like plaster of Paris. The recording was made long before the mission, and listened carefully on headphones as he tries hard to suppress himself from laughing. Well, otherwise, would someone on such an important mission find it so comical? And the answer is because it was indeed plaster of Paris he was referring to, hence the smirk on face of Michael Collins after the remark. Fact, anyone who believes the moon landing must be essentially green. Fact, Michael J. Tuttle, who composed the fake moon pictures, used mountain background scenes from the astronauts' training sessions in Iceland and other places to paste on the genuine simulation pictures. He also digitally composed the 360-degree panoramic shots of fake moon landing sites for use by NASA. His URL speaks for itself. The majority of NASA's fake moon landing pictures were taken and composed in the mid-90s and not in the late 60s, as many have led to believe. This was because suspicion was aroused by the time regarding the limited number of photos available, and NASA had to do something rapidly because of the onset of the internet. The Ski Squad, on and on and on and on and on and on. It's unbelievable. I don't know if I get the vocal cords to continue with it. But yeah, here's a good question. Why did the U.S. fake the moon landings? Was it to fool the then Soviet Union? And the answer is no. They weren't done to fool the Russians. Does anyone believe the Russians would be so stupid to fall for a con like that? Russia was more advanced than the USA in space technology. And knew at the time of Kennedy's speech that it was impossible for manned space travel to the moon and back. The landings were faked purely and simply to convince Western civilization that the USA were better in space technology than the Soviet Union, because the Western world had lost faith in the USA capabilities, and the USA could not be seen as the weaker link at such a crucial time and period in time. There was no space race, as claimed by NASA, and who incidentally coined the phrase? And Russia had no intention whatsoever of sending men to the moon, because they knew it was impossible. Was Richard Nixon behind the fake moon landings? The answer was, although Nixon was president at the time of the Apollo mission, he was not directly responsible, even though he knew, or should have known, they were fake.
Planning and preparation of the Faking the Moon mission began way back in the early 60s. Hence, Lyndon B. Johnson was the president with the most inside knowledge of the Apollo program. What about the vast number of people involved in Apollo? Wouldn't someone have spoken out? Penn's claim, there are 500,000 people involved in the Apollo program, but that includes all the humble engineers working on machines and Earth. And so if someone is making a part in some engineering factory in Seattle, and his boss tells him it's for the Apollo craft, is that engineer proof that the landing took place? No, of course not. No, so. Why didn't Russia cry foul over the fake missions? Well, there's another tactic used by Penn, that the landings are genuine. However, they are basing this fact on how Russia poked fun at failures within the USA space industry in the early 60s through the Kennedy-Khrushchev period. Khrushchev was always poking fun at their failures and referred to Alan Shepard's 15-minute spaceflight as a mere flea jump to what they, Russia, had done. However, when Khrushchev stepped down in 64, the new Soviet leader, Brezhnev, never poked fun at the USA, and Russia just got on with their own business. What many people don't know, however, is that the moon landing was portrayed as being fake in both Russian newspapers and many other newspapers around the globe at the time. However, those stories were suppressed from the Western media. Remember, Russia was a very secretive country back in 1969. Russia could have blabbed to the world that the moon landing was fake, and probably would have done if Khrushchev were in power. However, Western countries would simply say they were jealous because the USA had beaten them. This goes on and on and on. It's a fascinating story. But the last fact is deadly radiation in space beyond the magnetosphere makes space travel impossible. Scientists have not yet found a way to protect astronauts from this deadly radiation. The moon landing lie in another Illuminati signature fraud. It's not by chance we see the number 11 pop up again with Apollo 11, proving once again this was carried out by high-ranking elitists. Remember, the Bible says in the last days there will be a huge delusion covering the planet, and the fake moon landing is just another one of the long line of Illuminati lies we are being exposed. And pass this information along to someone else who you know who is a skeptic. And I spent 45 minutes in the show on this, and just to prove that these things exist, folks. This fake fraud is real. Man, it's real. We're so deluded. We're so messed up. I don't know what to tell you anymore, folks. I'm just kind of like at a loss, I don't know. I mean, I'm really at a loss. I'm really at a strange loss to try to complete the show tonight because we are so controlled. We don't even have clue as to how much we are. And, you know, back in 2000 and 2001,
back in 2000, I was doing a television show, statewide TV, and I did a program on the Nader, Ralph Nader's campaign, but more so I did a show, it's a number of shows against George Bush and against the election fraud and what was going on back then. And then in 2001, after 9/11, I mean, it was so obvious to me that the grand lie and what was happening and what happened and the Patriot Act, and it just came down and came down. And everything just came tumbling down, and our Constitution was shredded, all right? And it was the huge, huge lie. And over the last, it's taken so many years before. I mean, how much more evidence do people need to know that they have been screwed, booed, and tattooed, you know? And now we get Obama destroying our Constitution and tapping everybody, where Bush was doing the same thing 10 years ago, 5 years ago, 6 years ago. And I was crying and crying and telling everybody then, this the son of a bitch, but nothing happened. I can tell you quite honestly, I saw this probably about, the video and all this information on the false moon landing about probably back in 03 or 04. And, you know, it has surprised me, it never surprised me, especially after 9/11, that this could have happened and the moon landing was a fraud. But there was so much evidence to prove it that, you know, I always stuck it in my mind, and I always knew that there was zero Orion Belt, which was about 400 or 500 miles above our planet, that just was loaded with radiation that could never have allowed the Apollo 11 or any Apollo person carrying any astronauts to survive, all right? To survive going through that, especially in the kind of foolish kind of rocket ships we had back in the 60s, all right? Little, stuff is insane. Please look back at what we had as technology back then, and you'll ask yourself, how could this have possibly survived, you know, these megatons of radiation, and these astronauts are not even get a sunburn, all right? So, you know, but back in the 70s, back in those days, we knew in our hearts, back in the 60s, that's why we were revolted, that's why we, protested, that's why we ran against the institutions and the universities, and that's why people got bloodied and beaten and killed in their protests, because we knew the fraud that this country is and was then and is still to this day. That's why our generation, the baby boomers, are so blown out on pot or booze or, you know, workaholics or whatever we are, or, you know, we made money or lost money or whatever we did. We just fell into it and said, why fight the masters, you know? But what's happened is, because we stopped fighting, now we're under their complete control. And now we have a bastard like Barack Obama in the White House who just, you know, just soaks up our liberal sympathies, you know, our liberal empathy to a black man, even though this guy is a crook and a criminal, right? And they knew that he could win because all the liberals, you know, would support him and did. So anyway, and I'm one of them. I supported Obama. But if you look at his 2007 campaign and what he talked about, and he was going to end the wars, and he would, you know, transparency, and he wouldn't dare bug anybody, and nothing was going to happen, and everything was going to be wonderful, and blah, 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 blah. And then nothing happened. And what did they do in 2008 to 2000? 12, all right? He did whatever he did and bullshitted through it and put through the Obamacare and whatever bull crap that he thought he was going to do and made appease the everybody and appease the pharmaceutical companies that are raping people, still raping the American voter, all right? And we're at the point now of total revolution. We're going to that point. And I don't think we would have ever gotten there. We would have gotten there before if we had an idiot like John McCain. And they knew that. So the GOP, by putting up a guy like, an idiot like John McCain, there was nothing. There was no choice. You know? That's why 65% of the people voted for Obama, because there was no choice. Well, McCain was just a complete idiot. All right? And so... anyway, my thoughts tonight are that we have been deluded, we have been defrauded, we have been so bamboozled, okay, that we have to wake up and see why and who we are and what we are faced with and what we must do. And the only thing that we can do is wake up and knock this government down, knock these people the hell out of power, not and re-elect a real power, or stop it in its tracks and rebuild. Rebuild from the ground up, okay, a new constitution, a new, maybe the constitution is, as it is 200 years old, it's not, you know, or almost 300 years old, is not suited for the times now. But there are many things in it that should be and are and should remain. And, you know, we have to work with that. And we have to decide to rebuild this country, rebuild our government, rebuild our lives, you know, for the betterment of mankind. Not for wars, not for greed, not for, you know, the capitalist system, okay, the socialist systems or whatever systems. Just you and me and everybody else exist, work, you know, under a system that will pay according to our work, pay us for our work, you know, be fair with us, treat us right. And that's all we ask for. And a government that protects its people, doesn't tax them to death, and provides them with, you know, benefits and provides them with security that they need, they desperately need. So with that thought tonight, I'll probably cut out early here, I guess. But in the meantime, I think I'm going to play us out. And, I wish you good night, everybody. Oh, and by the way, go to my website, elliesteelshow.org. Check out my latest articles. My latest one is that I put up today is called The Unrecognized Celebrity. Good night, everybody. Thank you.